I'm here today with Jim Reichardt from Fish and Richardson.
And I'm here to talk to Jim about his Project of the Year finalist entry for fish.budgetmatters. Did I say that correctly, Jim? Is it fish.budgetmatters or fish budget matters?
Just fish budget matters.
Okay, my apologies.
No worries.
So why don't you tell me first about yourself and your role on this project and the firm?
Sure. My name is Jim Reichert, of course. I'm the manager of financial systems for Fish and Richardson. Mainly I manage all finance operations, but IT operations. We support our accounting billing system, BI system, things of that nature. From an operational standpoint, we also manage the database systems behind. I have also a reporting group that does any kind of reports for the firm, SSRS type reports, finance related, of course. And then finally, I manage several development groups that really deal with back office or in-house applications. We have a separate development group based in San Diego, but I mainly focus on finance-related IT work there. Fish Budget Matters is one of those projects. Back in April, my boss, Loretta Auer, who's CIO, brought me into a conference room with a BA, and I kind of said to myself, oh, I know what this means. This is another project, and I love projects. And she announced that she wanted to build a budgeting system for the litigation group specifically, so that the litigators could quickly build a budget. And her example was using Amazon.com comparing items. So she would want to be able to have a litigator go in, pick a couple of different matters, set a budget for it, and be done within three or four clicks. And then they'll have the functionality for other folks, maybe back office folks or a budgeting group, to go in and really get granular, so that budget can be really tweaked down to timekeepers, to allocations, things of that nature, even rates when the rates change, even using different rates. And then she kind of on top of that, she said, I want a prototype in 3 weeks. And I had at that moment had to go out, build the team, bring in some outside contractors to work on this, and 3 weeks later we had a prototype for her. 2 weeks after that, we were displaying it to the partners retreat, and it was a very fast process to get the first build out. And the goal was to get it out there so that they could start using it and giving us feedback. So that's kind of the overview of the project and a little bit of overview of me. For kind of overview of the firm, Fish and Richardson is an intellectual property firm. I believe we're the largest one in the world. We're ranked number one on litigation, patent litigation, with this, I think, the 12th year running. So it's an exciting place to work, you know, where our attorneys are usually also engineers and have advanced engineering degrees, which sometimes can be a challenge because they give you free advice on what they want, what they think something should be built. So it kind of raises the bar a little bit.
Very good. So for the deployment of the application, or once you got a prototype ready, what kinds of communication strategies did you use to market the product or the project out to the firm? How did
Sure.
you make everyone aware that it was available and what it was doing?
Well, the first thing we knew, which I think every firm has to deal with, is attorneys almost never go to training. So we weren't really going to get anywhere with kind of a traditional, hey, here's this product. This product also replaced another homegrown product that really spun out of control, that was really difficult to use, and because of that, the attorneys never used it. It was beautiful code. The design was beautiful, but it was just too complex. So we really kind of took a guerrilla marketing tactic, and at the partners retreat, the PGL in charge of litigation, Ann Chaplin, walked around with an iPad, with the iPad app, and showed people, said, hey, look at this, isn't this cool? And actually interactively demoed it to people. And having the PGL, you know, do that, it really gets its visibility and creates a buzz. And from that, we were able to have a team, core team of people, our sort of first wave of testers, and or users and use it in production. And from there, the word of mouth spread. People started talking about it. You know, they said, oh, have you seen this? This is really easy to track. And with the iPad app, they can be sitting in court are sitting on a plane or sitting anywhere and track their budgets. You know, a lot of other firms, they have to resort to spreadsheets, and they have to wait for accounting to give them the spreadsheet, and then they're playing with it, and that's, you know, we've done away with that. And for that, it's a really powerful tool where, you know, the attorneys can see it by phase. We capture phase codes with our time card. So, you know, they can look at it by phase, or they can see the spend by month, or they can see the fees and costs by, well, now it's cost, but then it was fees, the fees by timekeeper, either by month or in total. And it just really makes it transparent to them, okay, we're spending too much money here. We better see what's going on. Do we need to reevaluate? Is this going to be a bad surprise for the client? And, you know, instead of having that nasty surprise when the invoice is created, it can be captured very early on and either communicated to the client or, you know, corrective actions can be taken within the case to make sure it stays on budget.
Very good. So I noticed in one of the slides I looked at when I was doing a little bit of research for this interview that you were the project owner for the project. Did you utilize any project management processes like to track tasks or scope changes, or did you have a specific project manager assigned to the project that worked with you?
Sure. I mainly manage the project. What we used is roughly termed light agile development. What we did is we had build runs of 2 weeks, and the work product had to be in that build run, and then also, you know, the regression testing. So we really had to define very tightly what we needed and what, you know, build 1.0 was going to be. We actually started with build 0.5, but what 1.0 was going to be and so on. Right now we're up to build 2.5, so the application has evolved. The other piece is I kind of have a certain set team, a group of people, not the same people, but the same type of roles that I find works very well in this type of environment. And the key there is this application is compact enough. It's complex, but it's doable by one developer. So a front end developer, I would have the luxury of just having to use one. I didn't have to split it, because if a project's too small, they'll step over each other. So you got the front end person, and you also need the back end person, a database person, preferably somebody with architecture experience or can think like an architect. That's a very hard role to fill, by the way. Then we need a person that helps with the Elite interface. We use Thomson Elite for our accounting system. That person helps the architect move the data in. Then we, of course, have a BA. The BA, of course, takes care of all that, the paperwork and scheduling the meetings, which are twice a week, and coordinates the SharePoint site and things of that nature. And then finally, the most important, well, actually, almost finally, because I have an iOS developer that did the iPad app and actually iPhone app now concurrently. And then finally is the most important person of the team, and that's the single point of truth, as I call them. That's usually the business owner, the sponsor, but not necessarily. But it has to be a person that during the meetings, when a developer has a question about functionality or a business rule, this person can answer succinctly, and that's it, and we can move on. If you don't have that, if you have sort of a surrogate or someone that needs to go back to somebody or a committee, the process slows down, and it really makes it difficult to move quickly. But having that single point of truth lets us make quick decisions, make the important decisions, and just move it along. So that's kind of the methodologies. With this, of course, you know, we use Microsoft Project to watch the tasks. We also use SharePoint. And we're really using SharePoint to, you know, we keep the calendars in there, but we also, any kind of new code, well, we're using source code control, but any kind of tasks that need to be addressed by the team is kept there. We are using Team Foundation Server for source code control. So we're kind of on, you know, multiple paths there, so to speak.
I noticed that early on you had mentioned about the fact that attorneys, it's very difficult to get them to come into training. So what kind of training had to be associated with this project, and how did you go about training the users on how to use the system?
Well, the first piece of that was we wanted to make it simple enough that if somebody stumbled onto it or decided to use it, they could figure the system out, because we knew there's going to be a population that's never going to go to training. and they're just gonna stumble around. And it's simple enough for the attorney to do that. You know, if you've been on Amazon.com or Cars.com or any site like that, you're gonna quickly realize what this site is. The other piece of that is, you do need training. What we decided to do was have very short videos, between 30 seconds to 5 minutes, and they're all targeted to a certain piece, you know, other than just a general overview. And that's, you know, how to change a budget, how to submit a budget. That way, if somebody has a question or they're running into an issue, they just can go to the site, click on the video, and boom, they see what they need to do, and they're going to move on. Our view is somebody's also going to be more likely to click on a 1 minute video than sit into a 30 minute training session or watch a 30 minute video. You know, that's generally that's not going to happen. So we've really kind of tried to focus on, here's, we're just going to take a little bit of your time. We're going to give you exactly what you want in that sort of service model.
You mentioned earlier also that you had a very aggressive timeline. Were there any other unexpected challenges you faced in trying to roll out the system, and then how did you tackle those?
Well, the most interesting challenge was we tried to hold back showing this system before it was ready. I mean, there was such a temptation to showcase it and have people use it and play with it outside the original test group. And we really had to fight, even with some of the partners, because they wanted to get on it, that, you know, it wasn't ready for prime time yet. You know, we were still finding bugs. And the thing is, the second you release, that's your, you know, it's that cliche, you only have one chance to make a good impression. The second it gets known to be difficult or it has problems or it, you know, if somebody feels the numbers aren't correct, we've lost the chance, and that word will get out. And so that was a really big challenge. The other challenge, of course, is the challenge that everybody faces, and that's scope creep, where, you know, we're going down the list of items for this sprint, and we're saying, okay, we really need grouping. We really need to group matters, and there's not enough time. You know, we can't get it in there. And convincing the business users, this has to wait. You know, we can do these other four items, but this last item has to wait. And, you know, part of it is having a team that understands the realities of software development and understands that I can't just throw more resources at this because suddenly we're going to slow down even more. That we have to be really strict on what we allow and what we put off. And that was, you know, at times that can be challenging because you're managing not only the single point of truth expectations, you're managing a PGL's expectations, and the PGL is not used to being told no or being told yes, but it's going to have to wait a little bit. So there's always a bit of negotiation there.
Things that you learned from this project that you've been able to apply to other projects that you're working on, anything in particular?
Actually, this project helped me refine this model, this development model that I described, and I've been able to use that on other projects. Right now we have four concurrent development projects going on, including budget matters, and these are large scale. No, I'm sorry, five. And these are large scale projects, 6 months and more. The other piece is always a weakness that firms have, and that's testing, especially regression testing. You know, a lot of times you don't have them. You know, I don't know many firms that have a QA group that would test software. You know, we're not software development firms. We're a law firm that has a group that builds applications. So that falls to the developers. And the problem is that's the worst person to test their code. It's their children, literally. That's the way a developer looks at code. And it's very hard for them to detach from it, and it's also hard to catch the errors. And sometimes it's simple things, you know, like not having a dollar symbol on a piece of financial data in one column. But others can pick that up really quickly. So what we did is we actually engaged an outside firm that's a nonprofit that does software testing. And it's at a very reasonable rate. And the thing is, they're doing a service for the community, and we're getting software tested in a very accurate and professional way very quickly. And so that was the biggest takeaway, was I discovered this firm, and I've been able to use them to kind of offload my testing resources. That gives my developers the time to write code, and it also gives the UAT folks on the business side, they're not they're not going through, you know, the iterations of when they're catching the simple bugs. They're now looking at the important things. You know, how's this? Is this the right rates to use? Are we, you know, should it be a step increase? What about contingent fee? Those type of questions, and so that just makes the process even faster.
Very good. Can you give us an update on where you're at with Fish Budget Matters today, kind of what's progressed since last August?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot has happened. We're in version 2.5 right now. It's about to go. It's about literally will be released to the test group this Friday. So it's kind of, you know, it's perfect circumstance to talk about it. We've increased the number of types of matters that can be tracked by the system, including contingent fee matters, you know, alternate fee, things of that nature, you know, and so that information is pulled right in from Elite. So the rates, if it's a different rate, we have that. We've incorporated costs along with fees now. We have the granularity that the billing folks, the billing managers can go in and check and approve a budget and also go through the budget and really get granular. I mean, we have Gantt charts that are in there now so that you can see, all right, these attorneys are scheduled to work on this budget for X number of months, and I can, you know, the person, even the attorney can go in and change that and change the person if the rates are too high. We have automatic warnings where if the budget goes over a certain amount, it automatically is emailed to either the billing attorney or their manager so that somebody can take corrective action on it. The iPad app is immensely different now. It's it gives a much more visibility to different types of data. We're displaying fees and costs by phase code. We're displaying it by month. We're displaying a Gantt chart that shows the dates, the phase dates, and when the filings are occurring, so that an attorney can kind of budget out and decide, you know, what's next. We also have a favorites where an attorney can save that there are certain favorite budgets. The app is also now, it really scales so that if let's say you have two budgets, you're going to see two budgets on your system. Your boss is going to see your budgets, their budgets, and everyone else below them. The PGL is going to see the entire ecosystem, and the UI has been designed with a heat map so that the ecosystem is it's very quick and easy to spot, all right, where are my problem areas? And you can zoom in on that and get right to it, and that's all available anywhere that there's an internet connection, they can get that data. Down the road, where that'll be more interactive, anything that's available on the website will be available on the app. That'll be our final piece. And we also have an iPhone version too now.
Very good. Well, I appreciate all the information and the update about Fish Budget Matters, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Hopefully we'll get to see you again at ILTA this August, and I thank you very much for your time.